This podcast is a quest for well-being, a quest for a meaningful life through the exploration of fundamental truth. Enlightening ideas, insights on physical, mental, and spiritual health. The inspiration is love. The aspiration is to awaken new ways of thinking that can lead us to a new way of being. Being well. Welcome to Body, Mind, and Soul Healing Conversations.
When we go through trials, we end up dying to some part of ourselves. And that not only carves us into a new person with greater resilience and capacity for change, but also one who understands that death on all levels is simply another rite of passage. As we walk through the dark places in our life and accept our losses, we die to what the ego and mind mistakenly think is the best life path for us. The darkness helps us touch into our vulnerabilities, and each loss allows us to die just a little bit more, so that when life takes from us, creation brings something new into our lives. Any life form that stops growing dies. In nature, death is not an end. Death only leads to new creation, opening doors to new dimensions of reality. This is true whether we physically leave our bodies to engage in a new adventure of life, or if we stay here as a polished stone, ready to be kind to ourselves and be in service to all of life. Valeria interviews Sandra Ingerman. She is the author of Walking Through Darkness, a nature-based path to navigating suffering and loss, and many other titles. Sandra Ingerman, M.A., a world-renowned teacher of shamanism, is recognized for bridging ancient cross-cultural healing methods with modern culture. She taught for 40 years, including workshops worldwide on shamanic journaling, healing, and reversing environmental pollution using spiritual methods. Sandra is a licensed marriage and family therapist, professional mental health counselor, and a board-certified expert on traumatic stress. Watkins Body Mind Spirit magazine honored her by including her in their 100 most spiritually influential people of 2020. She was also chosen as one of the top 10 spiritual leaders of 2013 by Spirituality and Health magazine and was awarded the 2007 Peace Award from the Global Foundation for Integrative Medicine. She's authored 13 books, including Soul Retrieval, Mending the Fragmented Self, Medicine for the Earth, Walking in Light, and The Book of Ceremony, Shamanic Wisdom for Invoking the Sacred in Everyday Life. Sandra and Hank Wesselman's book, Awakening to the Spirit World, The Shamanic Path of Direct Revelation, won both the 2011 COVR, Coalition of Visionary Resources, Visionary Award, and the 2011 IPPY, Independent Publisher Book Award. Since the 1980s, thousands of people have healed from past and present traumas through soul retrieval, the classic cross-cultural shamanic healing method Sandra teaches. Sandra is recognized for bridging ancient cross-cultural healing methods into our modern culture, addressing the needs of our times. Sandra is known for gathering the global spiritual community together to perform powerful transformative ceremonies, as well as inspiring us to stand strong in unity. So we do our own spiritual and social activism work while keeping a vision of hope and being a light in the world. She is passionate about helping people to reconnect with nature. Sandra joined in partnership with Renee Baraboo to create a weekly 30-minute podcast called The Shaman's Cave. Coming out soon is Sandra's new book she co-wrote with Lynn Roberts on Walking Through Darkness, a nature-based path to navigating suffering and loss. Meet Sandra at sandraingerman.com. Here's the interview with Sandra Ingerman.
In your own words, who is Sandra Ingerman?
So I was born in Brooklyn, New York, back at a time when people were not doing spiritual work, but I came into this world just filled with love for the earth and how beautiful the earth was. And I just really loved all of life and loved people so much. And I grew up in an immigrant neighborhood where people had really, really suffered. There was a lot of suicide where I lived. And I just fell in love with people and I fell in love with life. And I remember as a really young child feeling that people weren't getting that life was about happiness here, about enjoying being on the earth, having senses to smell, to taste, to be able to see beauty, to be able to feel the wind on our skin. And I felt that people had really lost that. And I made a real commitment at that time that in my life, I was going to help people bring joy back into their life again. And then I was hit by lightning as a young child, and throughout my life, I had near-death experiences with every element, earth, air, water, and fire. And so that was a calling to the shamanic work that I do. So my whole life has actually been devoted to bringing spiritual awareness and consciousness back to the planet again, helping people see that there's a whole different perspective of life that we can embrace if we really do our own personal work and learn how to tap into the beauty of our own lives and the beauty of the planet and being connected to this amazing web of life that we share the earth with.
Yes. Wow. I absolutely love concepts, especially beautiful ones, deep ones. That's why I'm very attracted to spirituality as well. I love your journey. I've read about you. I guess a question that comes to mind more often than not within my own experience within this, which we call life, is how much of that, of those concepts, of those beautiful words we say, can we embody? Can we really show others? So I guess, or ourselves, that starts with ourselves, of course, how much of that can be really lived here? So I guess the follow-up question for you is, you mentioned love many times. What is love to you? How do you describe what love is?
Well, this is a perfect question to ask, especially around this interview and the book that I wrote about walking through darkness. Because first of all, I'll start with my near-death experiences. When I had my near-death experiences, I experienced a love, a peace, a bliss that was not personal. It's not somebody was loving me. I was just in an energy of unconditional love. Okay. So there was nothing personal about it. There was no love being directed at me personally. Mm-hmm. I was just in a field of unconditional love, and it didn't matter. It wouldn't matter if I was sitting next to a mass murderer or if it was me who has been in service to the planet all my life. That's what I learned from my near-death experiences, that the creative forces of the universe just love, not personally, they just love. And so what my biggest challenge in teaching people about how to change their lives and how to move into a beautiful life is that people in the spiritual community were taught not to love themselves and not to feel self-worth. Yeah. We don't want to be different. We were told by authority figures, don't shine your light too bright. Don't do anything too unique. Don't do anything too passionate. Don't dream too big. Just follow the rules and try and get by, and you'll stay out of trouble. And then, of course, we were always told that we're not good enough. All the things that are not lovable about us. And so I would say the biggest challenge we're facing on the planet today of helping people to step into another consciousness and to see the world from a different perspective, to see the beauty through the suffering, is we have to be able to love ourselves enough, mm-hmm. and we have to feel worthy enough to be able to do, to live out the destiny that we came here to live out. We came here because there was something we really, really wanted to do. Before we were born. We had this whole, you know, we're this little light being standing on the edge of the universe, looking down at this beautiful planet Earth, all the colors, the textures, the smells, the animals, the storms, everything about Earth to a spirit. A spirit has no body. A spirit doesn't get to enjoy all of this. And so here we are on planet Earth, which is Earth School. It's a place for us to get lots of learnings about being a human, about being a spirit in a human body. And so we look down on the Earth and we go, this is my passion. This is what my soul is going to express in this lifetime. And the first thing that happens is we come into a family system where we try to be controlled. And as I shared, we're told not to dream too big. So all of a sudden, what we were passionate about doing, we forget. We actually kind of go into amnesia about. And so this is a real time on the planet for people to start raising their consciousness and learning about what is love, non-personal love, where you just love. And I think that how it's happening to a lot of people in the spiritual community, it's happening in the world, but a lot of people aren't awake enough to be getting the lessons, is that with all the tragedies that we're experiencing on a personal and global level, our ego is literally being stripped away. We're like a seed that's being destroyed before it can blossom. And so all the loss that we're experiencing, all the stress that we're experiencing is trying to get our spirit, which knows the truth of everything that's happening, it's trying to get our spirit to wake up. But right now, our egos are so strong. They think our ego believes it knows the way through, but a lot of people are exhausted right now because the ego doesn't know the way through. And so we're going through really hard times so that our eyes have to open to more than what our ego can see, but what our spirit can see. And our spirit is the seed of the creative forces of the universe. And so I have my students connect with the creator, the creative forces of the universe, God, the goddess, the spirits, whoever you believe created this earth, to experience how much love went into your creation, how much love went into your creation. And that seed of love was planted inside of you. So you have exactly that same love. You also have the same capability to create the life that you wish to create, just like the Creator created you.
Yes, which is one and the same, right, Sandra? There's no separation. It's very interesting to see this, the dance of the separated wholeness, as I call it, the ego, and then the soul, the spirit, as we call it in intuition. What I often wonder is that why is it the intuition, for example, so it speaks so softly? It's something that is so important for our well-being and, you know, to guide us into truth. But why it seems sometimes to be hidden? I know it's not. I would love to hear a bit more about this from you.
Yeah, well, it kind of goes back to what I've been sharing, is that we were told by authority figures not to trust ourselves, but to listen to them. Right. And so how can you trust your intuition when you're listening to another authority figure? It's not possible to be able to do that. The only thing that your intuition can do in situations like that is your intuition can say, yeah, this is a person you should listen to. They're speaking the truth. And your intuition can also say, run, and get a red flag. Yeah. And so what I think that we have completely disempowered ourselves today by listening to authority figures telling us what we need to do, what we need to eat, what we need to do to heal, what we need to do to live a good life, what we need to let go of stress, what we need to let go of illness. I mean, we're just being flooded by all these hawkers. I feel like this is a crazy thing to say, but it's true. I feel like I'm living in a carnival where there's just all these people standing around saying, step up, little lady, step up, little lady. I have the perfect potion for you. I have the perfect magic for you. I have the perfect life for you. Just follow me. Just follow me. And that's what's happening now. People are being tricked into believing that somebody else knows more than their own body does about their own body and what your own heart needs emotionally and what would bring joy. How could somebody else tell you what's going to bring you joy? That has to come from inside of you. And so a lot of us have actually hidden our intuition. Our intuition is always screaming at us. I can't believe that people are not in touch with their intuition, because we all get weird feelings. We all get weird vibes. We all get red flags, and that's your intuition. And when you get that, you need to follow it.
Yes, I absolutely agree. I see that clearly. It's always there, but we sometimes just don't listen to it for a reason. And I tried to find the reasons why. And I guess one is it feels that we are limited when it comes to options and choices living in this modern society. For example, within my own life, I don't drive. My husband owns a car that is fueled with gas. And I have heard about the electric cars, that they are better for the earth, that it's better for everything else, nature. And then I really would love for him to sell this car and just buy the other one. But then he tells me that it's not, it wouldn't be economic. He would lose. Actually, it wouldn't be good for us financially. So that's one thing. So I see a lot of, you call it the ego, right? Structures. So these structures, they feel very limiting, even even if our intuition tells us, which is telling me that the car would be better, an electric one, although I don't drive, I don't really like the idea of driving anyway, but we can't do it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think what I find is that people don't start small enough. Mm. And so you have your intuition is telling you about something that's going to take a little bit of work. Talk to your husband about and to do some research to be able to show the cost effect and what you would gain by getting a new car. That's a lot of work to start with. And so I tell people start with little things like somebody suggested something to you to take a supplement or to eat a certain food. And what does your body say to you? Does your body say that other person is right? Or does your body say, that's not what my body is asking for? So these are the simple things that we have to start with is really taking the smallest steps possible. And every day when somebody speaks to you, especially an authority figure, to drop into your solar plexus, see if an image or feeling like you start to close down when somebody's speaking to you, that means your intuition is speaking to you at that moment. For me, it's a red flag. I actually see a red flag. And so start doing simple things like that, where you start to be able to discern the truth from a lie. And it's like building a muscle, just like building a muscle. The more you do that on a daily basis, all of a sudden you notice your intuition was already talking to you 24/7, but now you can hear it because you practiced.
Yes, that makes a lot of sense, Sandra. It's very helpful to start small. Yes, I absolutely agree. In your book, you talk about a lot about suffering and initiation, which has to do with that, challenges and going through that, those movements in life so we can transform, we can grow. And that just resonates so much at this level of course, the level of life itself, mind and body. Kind of dynamic. I usually take a step back, if I can see it that way, and always try to contemplate these experiences as a whole, as something that's already complete, that is limitless. I wouldn't say perfect, which it would be applied to, I guess. It's a good label for it. But it's definitely infinite and limitless and complete in the sense that there's nothing missing, nothing lacking. So I guess because that's my practice, spiritual practice, it's not as easy for me to kind of go through initiations with the same, let's say, outlook. Perhaps that you do, that the way you explain the book. So it's a lot more open, and there's no resistance, but also it's not a full acceptance either. So it's always something in between. I guess why, I don't know exactly why this has been happening, but it's always, I feel that this is always a movement that is at the same time is still. It's moving, but it's not. It feels like a paradox, but I know it's not either. It's just the truth being revealed that this is it's a dreamlike reality. So that's what it feels like. I know it might sound abstract and unreal for some people, but it's very much real from this perspective here.
Yeah, for since 2000, I've been teaching this work called Medicine for the Earth. And we've been able to do experiments showing how using this work, we can actually reverse environmental pollution. We've done experiments around this. I did a pilot research study with a medical school around this work. And basically, the teaching is a very high level of oneness, and mm-hmm. I call the practice transfiguration, mm-hmm. where you see everybody, yourself, and everything in pure divine light right. and perfection. Yep. Because on a spiritual level, everything really is divine light and perfection. Mm-hmm. And so when we work with this, we've actually been able to change the chemistry of water. We've been able to show how people have healed using this. We don't send light. We don't send energy. We just perceive that everything is already in its perfect and natural state. Mm. And when we do that, it's like putting your foot on an accelerator where the battery had gone dead in the car.
Right.
And you really stimulate that light from growing to grow. And that's a high level of spiritual evolution that I've loved teaching for the last 20 years mm. and will teach it for the rest of my life. Yeah. And transfiguration is one of the biggest ceremonies that my global community loves to come together, especially on the full moon, where we just see the entire earth, every single living being, every person in their divine light, perfection. Mm-hmm. There is no issue.
Right.
But then we come down to the physical.
Yeah.
And so let's say that you lose a leg, you lose your ability to walk. It takes a pretty advanced person to just be able to jump into, mm-hmm. I am absolutely perfect. I'm absolutely light. Okay. I didn't lose anything mm-hmm. at all.
Yeah.
That takes a pretty advanced consciousness to be able to just step right into that. So in the book, in Walking Through Darkness, always sharing the highest spiritual state that we can get into, but as a human being, what are we being asked to really go deep into and really experience what's happening inside of us when we experience a big loss on a spiritual, on a physical level, mm. not a spiritual level. Yeah. When something's actually physically happening that changes a person's life completely,
yes.
You get to a place of seeing it was all perfect because mm-hmm. of the lessons. But at the moment, it takes a person who did enough work or was born some kind of guru who can just step into this is absolutely perfect, that I've lost everything in my life right now.
Yeah, yes. And I see that this is exactly what your work is leading people to do. It's a calling for seeing the wholeness, always calling us back to return to wholeness, return to completeness, that unity, which is to me a fundamental truth. So yet, in your book, I know you wrote with Walking Through Darkness, a nature-based path to navigating suffering and loss. It was co-written with Lynn Roberts, right, Sandra? Yeah, that's her name. And you wrote 6 chapters in that book. I know the first one's Coyote, so that's one that we plan to discuss here. Suffering, initiation, intuition, we've been talking about these topics. The chapter that caught my attention the most, for some reason, it was chapter 15, yeah, Rose, Acceptance, Impermanence, and Death.
Mm-hmm.
This one was just like, this is it. Just reading all the teachings, your own story with them, put a smile on my face about the rose that was guiding you to smell her so you would feel better. So that's a beautiful, I know it's a story, but of course it's your own experience, which you talk a lot about your own experiences in the book too. So I would love for you to talk to me a bit more about that. Actually, before that, Sandra, why animals? I know in shamanism, I'm not familiar with in the sense of practicing, but I've talked to so many people and being around so many people who are shamans. But why, talk to me about, for those who don't know, this relationship between nature, especially animals, and spiritual awareness.
Well, that's an interesting question to try and address, because we live on this planet with animals and plants and trees. We don't live here alone. And so basically what we're seeing in our culture right now is people are species lonely. People are buying bunnies. They're buying all kinds of things from nature as pets instead of going outside and learning like the old shamanic cultures did. The thing in shamanic cultures is not just the shamans, the people had the ability to listen to what the plants were saying. This is my medicine, this is what I cure, and this is how to make it. And then different animals teaching you how to survive in the environment that you're living in. So there's always been a connection, and we are connected to nature, right, whether we want to believe it or not. We are nature.
Yes.
We are earth, yes, air, water, fire. Yes. That's what we're made up of. So first I taught a course on this particular subject, and it was just a regular course on walking through darkness and my roadmap of how to get to a place of light when you're in a really dark place. And then when Lynn and I came together to write the book, we decided to use the same way of working. We wrote a book together speaking with nature, and we wrote it in the same way with animals. And so we're using animals just as metaphors, different lessons that we can learn while we're walking through the dark night of the soul. So like if you have a person in your life who's trying to push you into a treatment that you absolutely feel is wrong for you, that's kind of how coyotes try to trick their prey. So we're using metaphors from nature around how the sun and the moon have always healed people, and how working with the sun and moon can bring you back into balance and harmony again. So if I was going to say, I've been teaching around the world for 43 years, and right now the only workshops people want to take and the only books that people want to read is on connecting with nature. People are really feeling that loss, an incredible loss, an incredible isolation. And so people are making beautiful jumps in consciousness by stopping reading the news and going out and talking to trees, not just asking for healing, but sitting with a tree and asking a tree to tell you about its life, about your family. And people are doing this. They're going out and they're really connecting to nature as a true living being that they can speak to and have a heartfelt conversation with. And those people who are doing that are stepping through a boundary of suffering and stepping into a world of magic. Because when we connect with nature and all the miracles and all the omens start happening, and when we see, when we actually experience that deep connection with all the nature beings that we share this earth with, it does something to us. It changes us. And so I've been watching my students move into levels of dimensions of reality that are just beautiful. They stepped out of the world of suffering because they connected so deeply with the energy of nature and the beauty of nature and the love of nature and how we are nature. We're not separate from nature.
Yes. Yes. A billion times to that truth. Yes. I love that. I often say that here on the podcast, every time we talk about nature, I always say, we are nature. It's not that we are part of nature, but we are nature. It feels that way very much. It's just that there's this, the ability to think, I don't know, we call it the mind, thoughts, mind. Do you also, I know we're almost at the end. Do you also believe or feel that nature, as in trees, animals, do they have a mind? I mean, I know they do, but what is the biggest difference, Sandra? And I wonder why we have developed, you know, as a human species, this ability to think that actually separates us from the natural world.
Well, we have an ego, and the nature of the ego is to see everything as separate. That's the nature of the ego.
Right.
And so the big challenge that we're all being pushed through right now is asking us to put our egos aside, because actually our egos don't have a clue what to do at the moment. And when you put your ego aside, that allows you to just become one with the natural world. So a story that I tell in Walking Through Darkness, and this may or not answer your question, it will just open you up more to the mystery, is there's a pinyon pine tree in front of my house that every single day, I've been living in my house for 27 years, every single day I've done my rituals, giving thanks for my life every day, saying my devotions and my prayers for being in service to earth, air, water, fire, the creator, the helping spirits, the divine. And so when I developed a disorder where my head shifted position, that tree fell the same day, exactly the same day.
Wow.
And so a couple of years later, I bought a piece of jewelry, and the jewelry came, and the woman who sent it, she put in a tiny ruby, and she said, for the gift of getting this jewelry, put this ruby someplace where you really love, out in nature. So, of course, I put the ruby under a little hollow of the tree where the tree had fallen. The next day I went out of curiosity, just because we have a lot of ravens. I wanted to see if the raven took the ruby. I was just curious. And what was there, and I have a photo of it, it's amazing, is a lichen heart replaced the ruby. As a gift from the tree to me. So I need to ask you, what's the difference between humans and trees?
Yes, none. Yes, it's just the, right, is the, we call it the ego, but that is, it's another, let's say, it's another part of nature, isn't it? It's another part of consciousness. It's not separate from it. So, as we know, fear and all that comes with that feeling separate, but it's not, it's just a feeling. So, so in a way, it's very important not to to attach, right, Sandra, to hold on to anything that's impermanent, which everything, feelings, emotions, and everything that's passing, as nature does it so beautifully, nature as in trees and animals. They just flow with everything. In your book, you do say that beautifully too. Say, accepting what life brings for us means understanding that everything in life is impermanent. And that was another part that caught my attention with the within the chapter 15, Rose, Acceptance, Impermanence, and Death. It's when you talk about water. There's something about water. I've been fascinated with water since I was very little, and I never understood why, the meaning. And at the same time, I was afraid of water and attracted to it. So, and now I know, for the last 15 years, I found out that truth, that water means impermanence. So that's, you see, there's a lot of, the fear is just coming from the ego, right?
That right.
Can't accept that. Ah, how wonderful. Thank you so much for being you.
Thank you, Valeria. I've really enjoyed our conversation. You have a beautiful energy, and thank you for the beautiful work that you're doing for all and for all the people who listen to you. I'm sure they gain so much wisdom. Thank you.
Thank you. I love this, Sandra. That's my happy hour, I call it, my happy moments. And I love the idea of peace more than happiness. But it is a joyful, if I can say, my joyful, happy moments would be this one, connecting deeply with other people. So thank you so much again. I want to mention your website is sandraingerman.com. That will be clickable on the podcast notes, also the book, and also the books. I know you have written many others, 13 of them. So I have your Amazon author page here, will be linked as well. I also want to mention the workshops and training. Is that, please let me know if I missed anything. I know you have, this is coming up, shamanic journaling for healing. Is it January 2nd, I believe, for 4 weeks? Is that the next workshop that you have in the works, or?
Yeah, that was this past January. So I am going back into in-person teaching coming up, but I have lots of online courses that are recorded and on my training page. If anybody wants to learn how to do a shaman, take a shamanic journey, or about the medicine for the earth work that I was talking about. All those courses are listed with descriptions, and you can buy them on your own time and listen to them on your own time. I do have an in-person workshop coming up, but I will continue to teach online. And so if people want to get on my email list, that's where I announce first the workshops that I'm doing.
So that the email list, they'll be on your website, right, Sandra? SandraIngerman.com. I'll have that here. A last question for you. I know we passed a little bit of time. I have to ask you this question. What is freedom to you, Sandra? What does it feel like, freedom?
Freedom for me is truly accepting, that everything that's happening in my life is bringing me to a good place. And freedom for me is living out my passion without letting other people tell me what I should or shouldn't be doing, but really following the deepest passion of my soul. And freedom for me is having as much time in nature as possible.
Yes, of course. Yes. Thank you so much again for your beautiful presence in our shared reality. For the timeless wisdom they share and the work they've been doing. Thank you again, and we'll talk soon. Bye for now. To you, Sandra.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about Sandra Ingerman and her work, please visit sandraingerman.com.
To learn more about this podcast, please visit fitforjoy.org/podcast. Thank you again for listening, and bye for now.